Amen. How many enjoyed the play? Amen. Praise the Lord. We were going to have testimonies. The youth just got back from the winter retreat. Amen. And we're going to do the testimonies next. But I didn't see the practice for the play and so forth. And I was amazed because the message is on the wise men and the shepherds. And when I was looking, I said, no way. I said, I'm going to go with the message right now. And then at the end, we will have the testimonials in regards to the winter retreat that the youth just got back just last night. And amen. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering here this day. Everything's about timing. And there's sometimes we need to make some shifts in our lives. Amen. When we see the opportunity present itself, amen, through God's grace and mercy, whether we haven't been doing that good this year of 2019 or whether we're at the top of the mountain, everything still calls for timing, amen, and being in position. And I just want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas here this day, amen. I'm just so happy to have you all here. And we know that Christmas is on Wednesday. We have prayer intercessory at the throne on Wednesday. That's becoming just more powerful and more powerful and more powerful. So I'm real excited about what the Lord is doing on prayer night on Wednesday. So I challenge you, if you want to get off to a good start this new year, 2020, that you'd be part of the prayer team that joins here every Wednesday night. It starts at 7. We punctually finish at 8:30. Amen. Punctually, not like today. There's nothing punctual about today. Amen. Especially when I get behind the pulpit. Amen. But anyhow, that's about it. Once again, real excited for what the Lord's doing right now within the church, within certain lives right now. And you might just have came here this morning, but there's been so much planning behind you sitting down here in the sanctuary this morning. There's so much work that is involved behind the scene that allows you to enter the sanctuary, the temple of God, and to be able to listen to the word and to be able to keep yourself aligned with the things of the Lord, realign yourself with the things of the Lord. Wherever you may be this beautiful Sunday morning, the good news is of God's grace and mercy, amen, that we serve a Savior, amen, that not only was born, amen, but he also died for you and I. He also died for you and I. And before I get into this morning's message, amen, I really believe the Lord has given me a word for each and every one of us, whether you're a new convert, you've been around for a minute, amen, and you're experiencing the word of the Lord, I believe the Lord is still going to speak into your life, amen. And I want us to look at a picture here this day on the screens, amen. I seen it about a week ago on Facebook, and it kind of struck me, you know. We think of baby Jesus, we seen the play, amen. And it kind of struck me when I seen it, and I just kept it in my heart, that picture. It was a comparison, and then I started putting the message again, and the Lord brought the picture back to me. So as they put the picture up, please, on the screens, amen. You can lower the lights at the altar right now. And I want us to get a good look at the picture. Amen. Because this is the message right here. This is the message here this beautiful Sunday morning for each and every one of our lives, from the pastor to your life. We've been speaking about commitment for months now. And I just want to address you that today is the last message on the topic of commitment. Today will be the last message, and I'm going to get with the Lord to see what the next theme we will have. Before that, it was holiness, commitment, and see where the Lord leads us and actually what next theme we're going to go into. But as we look at Christmas, amen, we need to view how God's seen it. We need to view how the Father's seen the birth of Jesus. See, whenever God looks into one's life, he don't just look at where you're currently at. But he looks at the big picture and how he's going to use your life. He looks at your life and how he's going to use you, not so much where you're at right now, but how he's going to use you. And when the Father put the plan together and surrendering his only son, amen, we see baby Jesus. But the Father went beyond that, seeing baby Jesus one day would grow up. And he would grow from the state of being a child in the manger to the cross. So the title of this Christmas service is From the Manger to the Cross. Commitment. There's a cross in each and every one of our lives. How many have some things that they need to die to? Amen. Things that are hindering the purpose of God wanting to take place not only in your life, but through your life. So as I seen that picture about a week ago, I said, wow, that's a heavy picture. We see an infant, but then we see the purpose of God. And that's why we're here this morning. Yes, it was great news that a Savior was born. But in order to have been able to get you and I here this day, he needed to die and cover our sins so that we would get the opportunity to be able to receive Christ, to be born again, to have a baby Jesus within our lives, to be born again. And between the area of the manger and the cross, there needs to be growth. There's that infant picture, and then there's the second picture that represents him being 30, 33 years old. There needs to be growth this new year, 2020, if we really want the purpose of God to take place in our lives and through our lives. There's going to be hard times. Times that are not even right. Times that are not fair. But nevertheless, because of the purpose of God and the grace and mercy of God upon our lives, and by everything he simply has already done, should want you and I to grow from being that infant, that immature new convert where we all start at. There should be a desire within our life to grow and to become what God has called us to become in order for those that are still lost and bound to be able to be sitting next to you, in front of you, behind you. There's still no question within my mind, no doubt, no fear that this church is going to get packed out. We have all the bells and whistles, everything we need right now. A great leadership, a beautiful facility, an empty school. When I say an empty school, I mean finances. A beautiful home in between the school and the church with over 20-some people living in it right now, where God is raising up men and women and being able to go from the infant state to maturity in Christ. and fulfilling the call of God upon your life and my life. As we get into this morning's message, we go to the book of Luke. It's really, I didn't see the play. I think I walked through it one time when many times they were practicing it. But I didn't see the play, and I was watching the plays, and the shepherds went up, then the wise men. I said, wow, that's the message. So I made a shift. I said, Felipe, testimonials are after the service. I'm going up there right now. So everybody started shifting. They were in the green room with their costumes on and everything. I says, no testimonies right now. Get to church. Testimonies at the end. What? There was a shift. It looked almost like a confusion. But it was a shift taking place. And anytime there's a shift in your life or within my life, it'll usually bring confusion, catch you by surprise. But here this morning, there's a shift taking place within your life. It's a good shift. And even though it might bring a little fear, a little commotion, a little, man, do I do it or do I do it? Man, I'm not, yeah. Even though it brings a little fear, a little doubt, there's a shift taking place right now in the atmosphere of Jesus wanting to use your life and Jesus wanting you to grow and to mature so that he can use your life as a sign and wonder of what he has done, the proof that Jesus was not only born in a manger, but that he also took it to the cross and was resurrected, as the word said of the Father, on the third day. And I want to let you know here this beautiful Sunday morning that we serve a living God that is here this day within our presence. The book of Luke chapter 2. The Bible reads, and while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. This was even part of the part my wife was saying during the play. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. No lodging, another simpler way of putting that, no room. There was no room for the birth of Jesus. And I pray here this Sunday morning as we make those adjustments, those shifts within our lives, that we're able to make room for Jesus in our busy lives. Here within the story, there was no room for Jesus. They took him to an inn, a place where animals were kept. And that's where the life of Jesus began. If that wasn't a slow start, a bad start, how many got off to a bad start in life? And you would think you would get better, but then it went from there. I usually have a cross up there, but we have a Christmas wreath. It's the cross is over here on the side. But then it went from the manger, the inn, a place for animals. He didn't know better. He was a baby. He was an infant. But then he grew up. And he knew what the cross was. He knew the call upon his life was not only to carry the cross, but to die on the cross for the joy set before him, which is you and I. So he went to a place that was a place for animals because there was no room for him. And after he grew, he went to the cross. I want to let you know here this Sunday morning that Jesus understands getting off to a bad start. Jesus understands the stretch and the challenge and the commitment that it takes a man or a woman to grow in answering not any call, but his call. Jesus got stretched himself by the Father. In the garden, he asked them three times, can we do this some other way? Jesus, being full God, but yet full man, was being stretched. There was a shift taking place within his life. And even though he knew it was the call of the Father, that struggle, that tug of war within his life, was trying to do it another way instead of the way of the Father. And I believe there's men and women and youth here this day that are in a struggle, still trying to do things your way. And the grace and mercy and the love of God for your life is still speaking to you, still wanting to use you. Because he's a father that never gives up on a son, that never gives up on a daughter, that don't keep score of our wrongs, and that has an unconditional agape love for each and every one of us. So it's not really based here this day on what you did in 2019, but what you're going to do in 2020. It's a new year. It's a new season. It's a fresh start. In the book of Luke chapter 52, we find that Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all people. In four ways he grew. Amen? We need to look up the word stature. Amen? I know what it means, but when I looked it up, there was two meanings to the word. The Bible says that Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature. Amen? The word stature is made up or has two meanings. Amen? The first one can refer to a person's height. Amen? One's growth. Amen? As we get taller and taller, or as we get older and older. Amen? But a second meaning of the word stature is the high level of respect in which one is regarded. Amen? So Jesus was not only growing physically in height, in age, but he was growing spiritually with the wisdom of God. And whenever we grow in the wisdom of God, you will, one, have favor with God, Scripture says. And secondly, you will have favor with all the people. Tell your neighbor, all the people. Uh-huh. With all people. Here Jesus is growing up. He's getting taller and taller, but he's also growing in wisdom, in respect. Did not only find favor with God, but found favor with all people. He was simply the son of a carpenter, amen? In 1 Corinthians 13:11, the Bible reads, when I was a child, a very well-known portion of Scripture, I spoke, I thought, I reasoned as a child. I've never seen a baby talk like an adult, think like an adult, reason like an adult. So verse 11 says, when I was a child, I spoke, and I thought, and I reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away, tell your neighbor, put away childish things. Have you ever gotten mad at somebody and an adult and say, you're acting like a kid? Grow up. How many know this morning if we're going to grow to maturity and fulfilling God's purpose within our lives, that we're going to have to put away some childish things, some childish ways of speaking, thinking, reasoning? Because it happens to all of us, amen? When things don't go our way, we can act like a child real quick. We need to get to the place of maturity to things of the past that we still hold on to. There's things of the past that we still hold on to that hinder from God fulfilling what He wants to do in and through our lives. Just like a baby infant, amen, God's give up the baby bottle. Even though the milk was good, it was good for a season. If the baby is to continue to grow healthy, it must go on to solid food. I put here in my notes that times can get very difficult. When Jesus is stretching us to grow, how many know it's not easy growing in Jesus, amen? Because we can't do it our way. We want godly wisdom, we need to seek God. We want to be respected and not just grow in height and in age. We need to seek God this new year in 2020. He's got to become a priority within our lives. It's difficult when Jesus calls a man to stretch, even if you've been around for many years. It's difficult for a woman of God that's been serving the Lord for a lot of years to go to that next level, to go from glory to glory and fulfilling the purpose that God has for your life and my life. If it was that easy, this church wouldn't have kept us for a week. We would need to where the Brewers play baseball, amen, for a prayer night. And that's why the Bible says that we need to fight the good fight, run a good race. If we desire to have godly wisdom this new year coming around the corner. In every one of us here this morning, there needs to be a process in seeking Jesus. I always preach on relationship. Amen. Having a true relationship with the Lord. There's no way you can receive godly wisdom without hanging out with God. It's like wanting to be a doctor and playing basketball all day. It ain't going to happen. In every one of us here this morning, there needs to be a process in seeking Jesus. Men in the rehab, that's why it's so profitable for you. Many times we can look at ourselves shameful, the stuff we did. And we all got to sit together. Everybody knows where we're at. But you're in a very favorable position where you have the liberty, the freedom to seek Jesus every day of the week. The others have to go to work all day. They come home tired. They promise, Jesus, I'll catch up with you when I get back from work. And by the time you take care of the kids and do all the ins and outs, anybody normally would be tired. That's why it's good to seek him early in the morning while he may be found. So you guys are in a very, very favorable position in changing. I give a statistic again. In the power of the rehab, you could be a person that comes to church every Sunday, faithfully every Sunday, and you would have to come to church for 13 years to get what they get in 1 year. That's the saturation that the rehab brings, because there's a process, a foundation in seeking Jesus. Even when I don't want to pray, happens early in the morning. These guys get up early, man. It's not a prison, man. Sometimes I feel like I'm in a prison. No, prisons don't even wake up that early. I was with Grandpa cruising around. Grandpa is 77 years old. We went to go look at the house. He's 77, man. I was more tired than he was at the end of 7 hours. I thought, how does this guy do it? And he says, I can't wait to live in our house. I don't want to live in the men's home no more. I said, Watch it, Grandpa. Don't talk smack about the men's home. He goes, we got our own house. Why do we still got to live in the men's home? I says, Grandpa, do you know that God loves that house, the men's home, more than he does the one we're going to live in, though it's beautiful and God's beautiful land? Do you know that God loves the men's home house more than he does the one we're going to live in? And he looked at me and says, that's true. Because you're helping people there. Their lives are being changed. They're in the process of seeking Jesus. And I thought I was going to have an argument with him that was going to go on for 2 hours. But he bowed down quick. And I said, thank you, Jesus. I said, why, Grandpa? That house is prettier than this house. He says, because you help people there. That's why God loves that house more. But it gets hard to be stretched to answering the call of God. From no longer wanting to do it our way, but to do it his way. Jesus finally was at the same playing field with the Father. At the very end there in the garden, said, not my will, but thy will be done. It's hard to get to that place to allow the Lord, that is never wrong, to lead our lives. It's hard. Because at times it's easier to see what the enemy's doing than to see what the invisible God is doing. And too many times we're looking for signs on the walls when you should got to look around this morning and see who's here and say, there is a God. There is a God. We are the signs and the wonders. We are the signs, the billboards that point the way that Jesus lives. And in Matthew, it gets hard. Chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, the Bible says, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. It says, keep on. And then it goes on to, keep on seeking, and you will find. And then it goes on to, keep on knocking. In other words, it may not just happen on the first time you knock. And say, hello, Jesus, don't you see me? Don't you hear me? Keep on knocking. The Bible says, and the door will be opened to you. But this is for the man and the woman and the youth member that has a process in mind, a game plan put together for this new year, 2020, and seeking the purpose of God for your life and being used of God. To your neighbor, you got to keep on, keep on, keep on. It's not that he don't want to answer you. He just wants you to keep on for right now. I want to share now, here this day, on two different parts of the Bible here, dealing with the shepherds and the wise men. If you guys will be, I'll show you my notes after the service. I was watching the plans. There's no way. I want to now share on what took place with the shepherds and the wise men in seeking Jesus. Let's go to the shepherds first. Amen. Everything that you saw in the play. Amen. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. Everybody following along, please. Amen. The Bible reads that that night, that's key, that night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby. Second key word, nearby. Guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them. That was Janie. She was the first angel that was up here. Amen. And the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. Did you see when they all went like this? That was in the play. But the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today. Third key word, today. At night, nearby, today. Key words, amen. Has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in stripes of cloth, lying in a manger. And we saw that a while ago, amen. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others. Then you've seen the other angels come, right? It was a biblical play. And the Bible goes, suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those to whom God is pleased. When the angels had returned to heaven, they were there and then they were just gone. The shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which that Lord has told us about. It hadn't taken place. They hadn't seen Jesus. But in order to bring the confirmation that was given by the angel, they were going to have to seek the instructions that was given to them. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. Catch this last sentence. It was just as the angel had told them. Has God given you a word? And how and why he saved you and how he wants to use your life? The call of God. Has he spoken to your life in regards to his plan for your life? These were just normal shepherds that were taking care of the flocks that night that were nearby. On that day, they came and everything the angel said came to pass. Everything came to pass. They got quick results that day and what had been told to them by the angel. Verse 8 says, that night. Verse 11 says, the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today. Nearby. Verse 17 says, after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. The shepherds is a group of people. The wise men are another group. And I believe these two groups are within the sanctuary here this day. The shepherds were fortunate. They got the word. They went seeking for what the Lord, for the angel of the Lord had told them. And on that same day, it was brought to pass, confirmed. Everything they heard, now they saw it. Jesus there in the manger. And I have a word for some of you all that fall in the group of the shepherd group. Some of you who are not that far away of Jesus about to do something great in your life. Today, you're near. The word that the Lord has spoken to you. Today is the day that of the word you heard, you're going to be able to see it in your life, applied in your life. The Bible says that the shepherds were nearby. Verse 17 says, and after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. Told everyone, to me, represents you and I having an experience, that your experience should be someone else's good news. I believe that day they were just hanging out, taking care of the sheep. The angel of the Lord brought them news, but one that had to be sought after in order to believe it. And once they got the good news, amen, the Bible says that they went and told everyone about what had happened, about what the angel had said to them about this child, amen? See, after you see Jesus, there should be an experience within your life to want to tell everybody about your encounter, your experience with Jesus. And verse 20 reads, the shepherds went back to their flocks. I believe sometimes Pastor Felipe might open up, or Brother Pedro might open up, and the prayer might go something. It's like a Victor Outreach thing. And we pray here this day that you don't leave the way you came in. Amen? Have you heard that? These shepherds heard the word from the angel of the Lord. They were still the same shepherd, but something took place when they saw Jesus. It allowed verse 20 to take place. The Bible says when the shepherds went back to their flocks, that they didn't come back the way they left. They came back glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. They didn't come back the same. On that day, they had an experience, an encounter with the word coming to pass quick. And they were able to come back glorifying and praising God and telling everybody what took place. How many know that sounds almost like we're those brand new converts on fire, which I remember coming out of prison, getting radically saved the very next day in church on Sunday. And I would start calling my mom and dad, but all they knew me was the bad guy. Hey, mom, dad, I got saved and this and that and this and that. It was too much for them to hear. It was too much to believe. So here we find this certain group, the shepherds, that were nearby when the angel of the Lord gave them that word. And there's some things in and being stretched and growing in the Lord, that when you ask, you receive that day. You knock, the door opens. It happens that day. Don't you love it when it goes like that? When things are just going right, everything's moving quick, you're growing, you're excited about it. I wish I could make the altar call right there, but we all know that it don't go that easy in Christ. Amen? They didn't come back the way they left. They had an experience. I remember when I was a brand new convert, still smoking cigarettes, I was still taking all kinds of people to church, filling up the car. Because something had happened in my life, but I was just at the very beginning part of the process of seeking Jesus. I was excited. One service, God spoke to me that I would never be a drug addict anymore. And it's been over 22 years now that I have not touched any type of narcotic. Not a drop of alcohol, puff of anything. One woman, 20 years and counting. Because I had an experience the very first service that I went to. I felt that I was far away from the Lord in my logic way of thinking. But I was in His presence that day. And He touched me just the way I was, all messed up. Let's go to the second group, which is the wise men. I believe there's a bigger category of us in this second group. Amen? Matthew chapter 2, verse 7 through 12. Herod was the king there at that time that was looking to take Jesus out. Amen? The Bible says, then Herod called for a private meeting when the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Amen? This is at the birth of Jesus. Amen? Then he told them, go to Bethlehem and search. Another word for that is seek. And search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too. That was a lie. He wanted to take him out. Jesus was not only born in a manger, in an inn, a place for animals, but the enemy at a very early age was not just wanting to place him with animals, but was trying to kill him. King Herod had a sentence that went out that every male child two and under had to be killed at that time to make sure that the prophecy of the birth of Jesus would be stopped. And the work of the enemy is still taking place in stopping Jesus from working and growing within our lives. And the Bible says, after this interview, the wise men went their way. And the star they had seen, we seen the star at the play. Amen. Sister Julie was the most smiling angel or shepherd or whatever her part was. Huh? She was the star. Literally the star. The star holder. She had a Colgate smile the whole time. The Bible reads that after the interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. We've seen the wise men, right? They came down, they bowed down. And they opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, we've seen that take place in the play. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route. For God had warned them in a dream and not to return to Herod. Amen? In Matthew 2:1, the Bible tells us that the starting place of these wise men where they started from was Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem. So they came from the east. Amen? And they arrived in Jerusalem. As I read commentary in this area, the Bible says that that journey could have took 2 years, up to 2 years, for them to finally arrive where baby Jesus was at. Amen? Here's a couple of good clues that it could have been up to a two-year journey that these wise men had to walk in seeking Jesus and finding the Lord. Amen? Here in verse 11, the Bible reads that they entered the house, not the inn, but they entered a house. Amen? And the Bible goes on to say, and saw the child, not the baby. Now he was a child. When the angel came, it was a baby. It was that day they were nearby. It was that night, that day when it took place. They were nearby. But the wise men were from the east. They had to make a long journey. And being able to seek Jesus that had been born in fulfilling the prophecies from the Old Testament. And the Bible records that they entered the house, for one, and they saw a child. That tells us he wasn't an infant no more. Tells us that time had passed. Tells us that the wise men weren't nearby as the shepherds were. Question. It's a big question here this day. How far are you willing to seek after Jesus? Simple question the Lord gave me. Are you willing to finish the rehab home? Are you willing for Him to change your life? Are you willing to grow? Are you willing to be stretched? How far are you willing to go because of all that Jesus has simply already done in your life? How far are you willing to seek Jesus in getting your breakthrough and being used by God? How far are you willing to go? When I was growing up in high school, I was willing to go as far as it took and getting high and going into darkness and the prison system and all those things that were taking place. I was willing to surrender my parents, my brother, my sisters, my life over and over. I gave everything to go the wrong way. I ask you here this Sunday morning, how far are you willing to go in seeking Jesus to go the right way and to accomplish the call of God upon your life? How far are you willing to go in answering the call here this Sunday morning? I've seen too many people quit. where they were in the shoes of the shepherds when Jesus was so near, ready to do something so great, and they quit. God wanted to do something that day. He was nearby. He had you in His heart. But if you were like me, you were one of those so-called wise men, one of them street smart kind of guys, going the wrong way, and still willing to sacrifice and pay the price to continue to go the wrong way. I've seen so many people that are in the church going the wrong way. When God's wanting to do something so great that He wants to operate through your life, not just for you, but through your life. How far are you willing to seek after Jesus this new year? What kind of shifts are you willing to make this new year to get different consequences, to be able to bear fruit as Christ has called us to bear fruit? It may not happen for you today as it did the shepherds. But Matthew 7:7-8 says, keep on. Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. Keep on. Because God's going to come through. He hasn't brought you this far to let you down. God's going to come through. In verse 11, remember the shepherds, when they finally got there and saw Jesus, they went back glorifying and praising God. Amen? Well, the wise men had an experience also. The wise men had an experience when they saw the child in the house. The Bible says that they entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary. The Bible says that they bowed down and worshiped him. Then opened their treasures chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Bible says in the opening sentence, they entered the house and saw the child, saw Jesus. Three things took place when that happened. The Bible says that they bowed down. Did the shepherds bow down in the play? Did the shepherds bow down? They were nearby. They just got up, dusted off, and the Bible says they went back to their flocks, praising God. There was not that great of a sacrifice. But for these wise men, they bowed down, and to me, they bowed down represents the long road humbled them. The long road humbled them. Their past of who they used to be. They were a great distance off if you were like me. But that day, coming out of prison, my first service, I bowed down at the altars. I was able to see. Finally, I was at the feet of Jesus. Finally, I had an opportunity to grow and to become not what my mom and dad wanted, but to become who God wanted me to be. Finally, I was at the altar and I bowed. My very first service, with a pack of smokes in my pocket, I bowed down. I saw Jesus. And even though it was many, many years, it didn't happen. happened for me that day. It was many years, the walk, the journey of prison, addiction, and all those things that try to stop me. God's grace and mercy one day reached down, brought me in the doors of Victory Outreach Salinas and changed my life. The Bible records that they bowed down. And it goes on to say that they worshiped him. To me, the worshiping him instantly, it became a lifestyle. The journey had been so long. The miracle had been so great in seeing Jesus that a lifestyle of worship started. I don't think there was a praise and worship team there that day as we have. But all of a sudden, as they bowed, they begin to worship the child called Jesus. They surrendered their lives. I not only bowed and left the church the same, I bowed and I started worshiping Jesus. Even though I didn't know what I was doing, I was telling them, Lord, get the drugs away from me. I'll serve you the rest. I was worshiping him. I was worshiping him. The long, long journey that my brother and sisters couldn't see, that mom and dad couldn't see, the prison system, the parole system couldn't see. God saw all from the very beginning. Amen. He saw all. And it's this second group, a VO kind of group, that are the best when it comes to fighting the good fight and running the good race and being humble and worshiping and surrendering our lives to the Lord. Even if it took us a little bit longer than it took the shepherds on that day nearby. The Bible says that they opened their treasure chests. To me, they opened up their hearts. In Milwaukee, there's a lot of people that don't trust nobody. I don't trust nobody. I hear that all the time from church people. I don't trust nobody. Here these guys were, could have been a 2-year journey. And they not only humbled themselves, they not only bowed down, they not only worshiped Jesus, but they opened their hearts. And that's what the Lord wants here this day. Because he already knows what's in there. But he's giving you a free will whether to open your heart or to keep it closed. To let nobody in. For nobody can hurt you ever again. Not even Jesus. They open up their treasure chest. The Bible scripture says where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. And the famous, my favorite part, is verse 12. Just like the shepherds, the Bible says when it was time to leave. Real close, we're getting time to leave. Service is going to be over. The shepherds that day saw Jesus. They went back. They went back a different way than they came. And then it came time for even the wise men to leave. Came time for them to grow. And the Bible says when it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, route or whatever you want to call it, amen? For God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. Tells me that they did not return the same way they came. They took a different route, a different way. And my prayer is this day after this service that you don't go back to doing the same things, expecting God to use you this new year 2020. But you're going to have to take a different route. Do things a different way. Die to self to live for Jesus. He's real. As much as he was a baby in a manger, he was a man on the cross. For you and I to have this opportunity, not only to be saved and clean and sober, but to be used of God. as the worship team makes their way. My prayer is that you don't leave today the way you came in. That you leave with a strategy spoken to by the Lord. And he's telling you, you know what he's telling you? It's your time. It's your time. He's encouraging you right now. He's putting little shift ideas in you right now. Things that got to stop. Things that got to be added on. Things that got to be taken away. Things that got to be added. He's speaking right now. Amen. Some of them you know already. You know what you're supposed to be doing. But there's some that he's giving fresh and new to you right now. Because he don't want you to leave the way you came in. Whatever the song is. Just keep playing. Just keyboard. Janie, come up here. Connie, come up here. Where's Pedro at? Call Pedro. I'm just calling four people up there. Come on, Miguel. We got to get somebody from the rehab. Come on, move quickly. Come on, Pedro. We're just going to testify real hard, real fast, real quick. Amen. Testify fire. If it ain't fire, take a seat. Amen. I want fire.
Amen. Amen. My name's Janie. I'm 21 years old. And we went over there to Winter Retreat. And we just got to encounter God. We got to hear great speakers, Pastor Ryan. And I really got envisioned. And God just was really stirring in my heart the need here in the church to grow in commitment. I know one thing that stuck out was when he said, we can't have a full-time God if we have a part-time commitment. Amen. And I'm ready to be committed. I'm ready to put my hands to the plow and give everything that I have. Amen.
Amen. My name is Connie, and when I went to Winter Retreat, I went with an expectation of God. I went expecting to hear God's voice, and I heard him. I heard him reiterate my calling to be a women's home director, and I feel called to be committed to the women and to the men of this church. Amen.
My name is Miguel, and I've been here for about 32 days exactly. That's 1 month. I went to Winter Retreat. God has touched me. God has came into my spirit and filled me. I was a filthy drug addict, a gang member that ran the streets. I would have never walked through these doors on my own. I would have never bowed down to no man, not even Jesus. You know, that wasn't for me. You know, but by the Holy Spirit that touched me, I'm here. I'm grateful. I want to go to UTC. I want to get filled with the Holy Spirit.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, we went over there to the Winter Retreat. Amen. And I was able to experience God at another level. Amen. It was a mountaintop experience that I was able to experience. Amen. And God just was just speaking to me clearly. Amen. Where I'm at in ministry right now, every message, every breakout session spoke. Amen. God was speaking. Amen. And the tough times and the hard times, I'm able to move forward with this mountaintop experience that I was able to receive there at the Winter Retreat. I know God has given me an international calling. Amen. And I'm to pursue that. Amen. So praise the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. My mic on? Can you hear me? Amen. As we stand this beautiful day, a beautiful turnout here this day. Amen. Whatever the song is. I'm going to open up the altars here this day. Let's not wait for New Year's night, amen, for the countdown.
I will answer.
That's the song right there. God's been calling. He's been calling.
I have heard the Master calling.
You need a process in seeking him.
I will.
you. Whether he is nearby or at a distance, today's your day. Today is your day.